Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our gospel reading from St. John, the 6th chapter. If you have waited until you could afford it, would you ever have gotten married or had kids? Oh, this isn't saying no. How about bought your first house or started that business? Would you ever have done that if you would have waited till you had enough money? It's kind of natural for us to look at our budget and say, we just can't afford it. Churches do that, right? They examine their budgets and they say, how can we pay for this or that? After all, we need to be frugal with the Lord's money. But sometimes the most important decisions in our life require a leap of faith. And as Christians, our faith isn't in the unknown, but it is in the one who has given everything for us, the one who cares for us perfectly and completely. In today's gospel reading, Jesus shows his disciples just how true this is. He is the one true God who can be trusted to care for both our spiritual and our physical needs. Our text takes place when Jesus is at the height of his popularity. As you can see, thousands of people followed Jesus everywhere, even into the wilderness. He can't even escape the crowds to go and mourn the death of John the Baptist. He has compassion on the crowd. So even in the midst of his own grief, he spends the whole day teaching and healing their sick. But Jesus knows their greatest need. You see, he looks upon the crowds and he sees that they are sheep without a shepherd. Their greatest need is the same as our greatest need. Every word that comes forth from the mouth of God, the bread of life, that's what they need. Even more important for them than the bread for their bodies. But if you notice, it was late in the day. They're out in the wilderness, a long way from a city or a village. Jesus asked Philip, one of his disciples, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? Well, Philip looked at the crowd, then he looked at the budget. And he said pretty much what we said. 200 denarii, 8 months' wages, wouldn't buy enough bread for these people to have a nibble. It's not in the budget, Lord. We just can't do it. Send the people away, even if it means they die in the wilderness. I can remember at my vicarage congregation when the Sunday school board was facing an interesting problem. They were growing, and they needed more tables. So they went to the church council and said, we need to buy some tables. And what did the church council say? No, it's not in the budget. I think God may have a problem with your budget if it comes between him and the gospel. But of course, Jesus was only testing his disciple. He already knew what he was going to do. The creator of the heavens and the earth made flesh, was about to demonstrate to his disciples and to those thousands of people that not only is he the bread of eternal life, but he's also the bread of earthly life. Jesus already knew, as God, that there was a boy who had remembered to bring lunch. 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks to his heavenly Father for such blessings. And then those 2 fish and those 5 loaves of barley bread became the original Energizer Bunny. They just kept on giving and giving and giving. Everyone there had their fill. Now, if you notice, this is the feeding of the 5,000 men. Right? The word men, husbands. Who knows how many women and children were there as well. But to really let things sink in, Jesus had his disciples go and collect the leftovers, and they collected 12 basketfuls. We're not talking about Easter baskets, people. We're talking about baskets used for harvesting grain. 12 baskets of leftovers, one for each of the disciples. This was no ordinary man. This was the Messiah. This was the Christ, the God-man. He showed that he is the bread of life. This miracle demonstrates Christ's love and compassion. You see, the disciples are ready to send the people away, but Jesus cares for them. Because whether they are big or little, important or unimportant, good or evil, faithful or unfaithful, Jesus cares for humanity. People are his creation. He has made us, and he promises to care for us. So this text, the feeding of the 5,000, is always a good time for us Christians to review the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. To remember that because God has made our bodies, he cares for our bodies. And so Jesus bids us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer. But we, even to all evil people, but we pray in this petition that God will lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. By praying, give us this day our daily bread, Christians acknowledge from whom their blessings flow. Now it's interesting that Jesus took these people into the wilderness far away from any town or village, and then he taught them all day into the evening. In a way, Jesus created this crisis where the people would have no place to go for supper. Jesus created this crisis so that the people and his disciples would know who he is, would realize that he is the one who provides for their needs of body and soul, and that they would indeed turn to him in their hour of need. However, this miracle, you can also see our response often as sinners to God's blessings. First, the disciples, they fell into the ditch of not trusting in the Lord's provision. Instead, they trusted in what they saw. And what they saw was a budget shortfall and not Jesus, the world's creator. The people, on the other hand, they fell into the ditch of seeing Jesus simply as one who would fill their bellies. A bread king, a vending machine in the sky, someone who would make their life easier. The Apostle John writes, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." He is. However, Jesus, perceiving that then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Our bodies need daily bread. But when earthly needs come before our need for spiritual bread, God may often put a crisis into your lives. Now we may think that God is being mean when he lets things like sickness, accidents, family strife, a friend or neighbor's betrayal. We think he might be mean, even evil, when he does these things. But it may be God's way of getting our attention. Of returning our focus on what really matters. Of moving our hearts from the things of this world to the things of heaven. To Jesus as the bread of life. When God lets bad things happen to us, we may interpret them as evil. But indeed, God may be working them out for good, for our lives, so that we remain faithful to Him. Just look at the life of the Apostle Paul. God allowed Satan to afflict Paul with a thorn in the flesh. Indeed, what Paul called a messenger from Satan. Why did God do that? To keep Paul a humble and faithful preacher of the gospel. So that he would continue to be a humble servant of the Lord. Furthermore, God has given us the gift of work to provide for our families and for our neighbors. Even Adam and Eve, before the fall into sin, had to work. They had to tend the garden to care for the plants and the animals that God had given them. But original sin turns things upside down. Not only has this original sin caused us to put our faith in the creature rather than the creator and put our trust in things and not the Lord, original sin has made us lazy. Rather than serving our neighbor, we expect our neighbor to serve us. I can't count how many times I've heard someone say to me, "Pastor, someone should," and then fill in the blank. Do something for the youth. Clean the church. Get a choir going. And my response is, perhaps you're the someone that God is asking to do this. And usually they respond by saying, "Not me. I'm just telling you what needs to be done." That's not the way the Lord uses His people. Daily bread, food, water, clothing, and shelter, those things are our greatest physical needs, and God provides just as He promised. But Jesus didn't come down from heaven to become the bread of life to make our lives easier. Our desire for our neighbor to serve us and our needs is evidence of our greatest need. Our trust in things that we can see rather than the things of God is evidence of our greatest need. Our greatest need is for the forgiveness of sins. Our greatest need is to be reconciled to God. Our greatest need is to be made new people in Christ Jesus. And indeed, that is what the bread of life has come down from heaven to do. He has come down to serve us by giving His own body on the cross in our place. To become the heavenly food that we need to be reconciled to God the Father. To be the heavenly food that we need for the forgiveness of our sins. To become the heavenly food that we need to see that God indeed provides for all of our needs. It is through Jesus that God's forgiven people, baptized into the Holy Spirit, understand that like Jesus, we are called to serve and not to be served. It is through Christ that we know God as our Father, a Father who cares and protects and sees to our well-being, a Father who so richly blesses us that we can help others and be blessings to others, because indeed our cup more than overflows. And what overflows should flow, especially into those who need it most. And Jesus doesn't just care for these bodies. He cares for another body as well, His church. Like Christians, churches need to trust that Jesus provides for His church. But too often, like Philip, churches look at their budgets and say, "We can't purchase tables and chairs for the Sunday school because there's no money." But the problem is not a lack of resources. Look at what Jesus did with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The problem is a lack of faith. Of trust in the one who loves and provides for His church. As we meditate on this gospel reading, we do get the benefit of hindsight. We can say, Philip, Jesus is standing right in front of you. But then when we see a problem, we don't see Jesus standing right here in front of us. We simply see the lack of resources. But every church is rich. You may not be rich in money, but money isn't the greatest resource of a Christian congregation. The greatest resource in any Christian congregation is God's people. And the people of my Vicarage congregation responded to that Sunday school's needs by raising the money for tables and chairs. The Lord provides, and He provides through His people. In the wilderness, Jesus was tempted to obey the devil and turn stones into bread to fill His hungry belly. If He would have obeyed the devil and listened and did what the devil asked, then we would be doomed. But Jesus resisted the devil and did without food so we could have the bread of life. Jesus continues to be the bread of life for His church and His creation. He provides bread for our physical needs as well as bread for our spiritual needs, His word and sacrament. Jesus cared about the people in the wilderness, and He cares about you today. This great miracle in the wilderness reminds us that Jesus cares for our bodies and our souls. He hears your prayers, and He promises always to give you your daily bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.